You're listening to Health First, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We've been talking to Ruthie Fraser, and she's the author of Stack Your Bones. We were just talking a little bit about undealt with emotions, how they can get stuck in the structure of our body. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that, Ruthie?
Right, well, undealt with emotions and also just undealt with muscle dysfunction as well. You know, all kinds of things can happen in the body. One thing that it says in my book is that your body tells the story of your life. Uh-huh. And we all carry the stories of our lives with us. You know, our bodies tell those stories, whether they're things about our physical selves, like the sports that we played or didn't play, or accidents we've had, or injuries we've had, or postural habits that we've acquired or learned. And then also through the complexity of our nervous systems and the neuromuscular system, we also carry trauma and emotions and stress in the body-mind-nervous system network. So we have patterns in the body tissues. We have certain kinds of patterns in our joints. You know, our joints might be really well aligned, or they might not. They might be a little off or a little compromised. And then we might be holding stress or trauma or emotion, memory. So our bodies hold a lot. And one thing that we can do through movement, through awareness, through different bodywork practices and different movement disciplines is start to deal with the material of the body and metabolize it. And it can be really simple. Like, I feel like it sounds very complex what I'm talking about, but Actually even just learning how to rest and relax the body and feel more of the support under the body, or even just slow down, slow down the breathing, slow down our awareness. There's very, very simple elemental tools that people can do to address the predicament of being embodied in a human life, which is not always easy.
It's a good way to put it. And how do you feel it when you first feel that armor coming on? Do you notice when your body starts to create those unnatural postures to protect itself?
I do notice. I do notice if I'm exhausted or overworking, or you know, I have two small children, and they're young, but it also, they're a lot to carry. They want to be held. So if I'm carrying them for too long and it's uncomfortable, and I'll start to feel my body brace or contract. Or if I get bad news, I'll have certain feelings in my chest or in my shoulder blades. So I feel there's a bodily response to life. And there's nothing pathological about that. That's completely normal. But that's why humans have always had healing methods to deal with the stresses of life and to basically unwind into a more neutral place where we're more available to be present and more available to handle what's going to keep coming at us. You know, we don't want to get so wound up that then we're just so upregulated and stressed out that we're not thinking or seeing clearly. So The practices I'm interested in help us come back to neutral, to shed like lots of extraneous tension and reveal the underlying order and the underlying connection to homeostasis that we all have.
So the small practices, which most of them take a minute or two to really absorb, are a bit like flossing for your daily prevention. These are preventative to keep your body in a more functional state as you head into the day.
Exactly. That's a great metaphor. I use that a lot. Like, sometimes I call it muscular hygiene, although it's more than just muscular. But yeah, when we do simple movement practices, we're just, it is like flossing your teeth. And then beyond the muscular hygiene, also just sometimes tuning in and carving the body through different movement pathways, slowing down and being present with the interior of the body, all of that is part of a kind of kinesthetic and body-mind hygiene practice. Mm-hmm. And then some of the lessons in the book also are meant to be intellectually stimulating, to bring insight into certain realities or maps or ways of looking at the body. And those are meant to be interesting and motivating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure there's something for everyone in this book. There's so much, and your quotes that you've taken from so many people. I had to ask you, who is Dr. Ida Rolf? There's so many quotes from her.
Well, yes, Dr. Ida Rolf was the founder of Structural Integration, and that's the system of work that I'm rooted in, and I practice that work. It's a body therapy that's done one-on-one, and it's a hands-on therapy, and we deal with movement repatterning. And so Dr. Ida Rolf created Structural Integration, and the book is primarily based on those principles. So in a way, it's a structural integration publication. There are parts of the book that are my spin on the work, but a lot of the principles that I express in the book in my own way have come from Dr. Ida Rolf. So she's the founder, and she was a fascinating person with a fascinating life. And she died in 79, but her system, Structural Integration, remains. And there's thousands of practitioners all over the world.
Fantastic. Now, you also have gotten into some other things, like being a voice dialogue facilitator. Before I read your bio, I'd never heard of that before. What is it?
So voice dialogue is a method and a system for self-exploration, and it's so much fun. It's so illuminating and fantastic. And I found it about 7 years ago, and I started doing it with a facilitator who's also now my mentor. And then I ended up training in the work, and I found it just so profound and wonderful and such a great complement to the body-based structural integration work. So basically, voice dialogue is a way to get acquainted with and then speak from different selves within ourselves. So we all have many inner selves, like many aspects to our personality. Mm-hmm. Like we have an inner child, an inner critic, an inner pleaser, an inner adventurer, you know, and there's hundreds of them. And some of them are archetypal. Some of them are very personal. We have protector selves. We have, you know, so the work is a systematized way of going into one of those selves and speaking from that place and being heard. You know, all of our inner selves have wisdom and have value. Mm-hmm. And we never get rid of any selves, even the really taboo ones that we think are terrible. They all have value and they all have a place in our psyche. But the ultimate goal of voice dialogue is to have more access to all of our superpowers as people. And then we can have more agency and more choice as to which self we choose to kind of pull in any given situation. So it can really affect our behavior and relationships and identity.
And would it change the structure of our body?
Yeah, so one of the ways I got into it is I did a group facilitation. That means that I was in a group format with a facilitator. You know, it's mm-hmm. often done one-on-one, but mm-hmm. sometimes it's a group. So there were a few of us, and the facilitator had us go into, one of our responsible inner selves. And so we processed things, and then later in the day, we went into our more vacation mode self. Mm-hmm. Inner self, mm-hmm. and everyone's posture changed.
Interesting.
And I saw, wow, when people are asked to access or be in or get embodied in a particular self within them, they'll actually have a different body carriage than when they shift it to a different one. And I thought, wow, that's really interesting, because I'm trying to help people find a different way to be in their body so they have more choice. You know, not that there's anything necessarily wrong with the way they are, but just so they're not stuck, so they have options. And maybe one of their patterns is causing some pain, right? So, and I saw people find fluency, being able to fluidly go from one type of body carriage to another naturally just from being in different parts of themselves, whether it's an inner child or a selfish self or an accommodating self. And so I realized, I think this is the missing link to my work. And so now I work with people using voice dialogue and also structural integration, both.
Mm-hmm. There's so much you can see from the structure. Do you see another book coming out with your new work?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, not quite yet. I'm still developing and learning, and I'm getting seasoned more and more by the work I do. I have a busy practice, and so I'm very immersed in this work all the time, one-on-one with my clients. And at some point, for sure, another book, yeah.
I can see it coming. This is such a fantastic book, Stack Your Bones by Ruthie Fraser. Is it on Amazon?
It is, yes.
It is, so that's a good place to find it. So I want to thank you so much for phoning in and being on our Health First radio show.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. We'd also like to thank Alan Wishart. He's our producer, and we'd like to thank all the different community stations across the country that pick up this show and play it. Have a healthy and happy day.